I'm speaking today with Gene Locke, who is one of the candidates for mayor this fall. Gene, the first question I'd like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
Well, I love the city. It's been a great city for me, a place of opportunity. And one of the things that I would hope is that Houston remains a place of opportunity, that the future of the city is a future of a city that is constantly providing opportunities for folks. As an individual, I have learned at a later stage in my life that I have two personalities. One side of me is a very professional person who likes being a lawyer, likes the trappings of a legal career. But the other side of me loves public service, likes engaging in policy considerations and trying to turn those policy considerations into differences in people's lives. I believe that good leadership can make a difference in the quality of life of folks. And so I'm kind of now vacillating from my professional life back to my emphasis on public service. And I think if I'm going to ever have an opportunity to make a difference in the city, now is the time.
Now, you have, of course, been in city government before as city attorney, and tell me a little bit about what you think what things you think you accomplished while you were in city government before, and how you think that experience will translate to you as mayor.
Well, actually, I've had experience in a lot of different areas of government. As a lawyer in private practice, I've represented a host of municipal governments, special districts. I'm general counsel to the Harris County Houston Sports Authority. I'm special counsel to the Port of Houston, helped involved in the expansion of Bayport and writing their small business program. I'm special counsel to Metro. I've been involved in a light rail project and enhancing their small business project. And I've represented Dallas County, City of San Antonio, HISD, Houston Community College. So I know government from the perspective of a lawyer having represented governments. Before being city attorney, though, you may not know that I was the chairman of the board of the Houston Community College. I was first chairman of the board. And as a policymaker there, we were able to expand the boundaries of the Houston Community College to be able to get now six campuses across the city and really expanding educational opportunities for folks. Before that, even, I was the chief of staff for Congressman Leland in Washington, D.C., which gave me a unique perspective on government from a national level. As city attorney, we tackled all of the major problems facing Houston in the 1990s. We were, when I say we, it's the Bob Lanier administration, and Mayor Lanier used me as a policymaker, so I think I'm able to say we. But the Lanier administration, to which I was a part, a very active part, responsible for the revitalization of downtown. As you may remember, before the 1990s, downtown was an economic non-entity after 5 o'clock. We really brought downtown back, both residential living downtown and commercial and entertainment activities downtown. I was involved in the protection of neighborhoods. One of the things that I recognize as city attorney, and I learned through the Lanier administration, is very, very important for Houston to have a healthy economy, for a city to have the healthy economy. And a part of that healthy economy is having great neighborhoods with competitive neighborhoods with the suburbs. So we did a lot of things to protect neighborhoods. We had a Neighborhoods to Standards program, and we had a Sidewalks to Standards program, and then a Schools to Standards program, and a Parks to Standards program. I also learned to tackle the tough policy issues of the day. For us, there were a couple of policy issues that were very, very important. One was the fight to keep affirmative action, which was fought both at the courthouse and at the ballot box. And the other was the annexation of Kingwood, making it a part of the city of Houston. I learned some bitter lessons in both experiences that I think will serve me well. So, as we look at the 1990s and my tenure as city attorney, I was fortunate to have worked on all of the major issues of the day. And while the issues now are different in 2009, the reality is the approach to city government is still the same. So I think I can use that experience in a very productive way.
All right, well, we're going to talk about some of those things, but let me pick out one item from you mentioned there, the Houston Sports Authority, since that's in the news now as we speak, with the revelation that Harris County, and I'm not sure if the city will be involved in this, but the county at least, may be on the hook for some more money than was originally thought, possibly even the use of taxpayer dollars, property tax revenues, to pay off some of the bond money because of some issues with the bond issuer. When you look at that, you know, can you look back and say, you know, we should have done something differently? And what lessons, you know, can the city learn from that going forward? You know, did the kind of deal we made back then, you know, is it the sort of thing that we should avoid in the future? Or is it the sort of thing that was kind of a unique problem and we can learn from it and do it differently next time?
I think you can always learn from experiences, and I think that that's one of the great things of life, that it gives you the opportunity to learn from hindsight. It is not correct to suggest that the city will be on the hook for any money. They will not. And it's not correct to suggest that the Harris County taxpayers will be on the hook in terms of ad valorem tax money, because they will not. Let's go back to the year 2000-2001. Houston was competing with Los Angeles to get a sports team. And one of the things that made Houston competitive was its ability as a city or as a region to give the NFL a package that included a stadium. In order to get the stadium, we needed to float bonds. In order to float bonds, we had to have an insurer of the bonds, so that in the event the bonds ever went bad, somebody other than the taxpayers would be on the hook to pay the bonds. And in this case, it was over $300 million in bond proceeds that we issued. One of the things that the bond insurer required was that Harris County use the parking revenue generated at this stadium to be built to backstop some of their obligations. And that parking revenue was estimated by the bond insurer to be up to $4 million a year. So what we're talking about now is the downgrade as a result of the worst economic downturn we've had since the Depression, the downgrading of this bond insurer, MBIA. And as MBIA has been downgraded, there is a possibility that the Sports Authority will have to really step up to the plate to take the bond insurer out with some of the bonds that were issued. And the result of that could mean that Harris County would be required to pay up to $4 million from the parking revenue at the stadium. At this point in our history, in talking to the leadership of the Sports Authority, it looks like they will be able to avoid that situation, and this will not become an issue at all. If it does, it is one of the issues that was anticipated in the financing of the stadium to make sure that you didn't have to use tax revenue. We backstopped it using only the parking revenue from the facility.
Okay. Do you believe, looking back on the stadiums that were built using, you know, debt that was financed by public bonds, do you believe that the county and its citizens have gotten a good return on that investment?
I think it's been a tremendous deal for the city and the county in several respects. First of all, we were able to keep all three of our sports teams. And you may or may not know that there was a time when two of the sports teams were threatening to leave, and one did leave. So we kept the sports identity of the city by keeping our teams and getting a new NFL team. Secondly, we built three of the most fabulous facilities that any city has, in our basketball arena, our baseball arena, and our football/rodeo arena. As a consequence of that, we not only have facilities where the teams can play, but we also have these great economic magnets that bring events into Houston that we would not have had otherwise. But probably the most significant thing that has happened is, as a consequence of the building of the stadiums, Houston has undergone an economic rebirth on the east side of town. The area around Minute Maid Park and the Toyota Center look entirely different and are much more economically vibrant in 2009 than they were in 1999. That's the direct result of having the stadium there and the traffic from the stadiums. And the projections are that the area around South Main, where Reliance Stadium, will undertake the same kind of economic boom, and is really going through that now. So I think there are a lot of positive consequences that have happened for the city. And so the direct answer to your question is, I think both the county and the city and the people of the region have benefited immensely from the stadiums.
All right, let's talk more generally about the Houston economy and the city's budget situation. As you know, recently Controller Parker, who is also one of your opponents in this race, announced that the city was in a budget deficit situation of, I believe, $103 million. That amount was disputed by Mayor White over a matter of the accounting techniques, but also in the end, you know, the amount that was claimed was different even regardless of the way it was counted. My questions to you are, who's right in this debate? How much is the city in the hole, and what should the city be doing to get out of it?
Well, I don't know who's right with the numbers, but unmistakably, the city is having a difficult economic time. And unmistakably, Ms. Parker and Mayor White are quibbling over the amount of the economic deficit, if you will. I believe that the city has to operate like millions of Houstonians operate now, and that is with a balanced budget in their household. The city needs to run the city budget so that it's a balanced budget. That means that revenue and expenses have to equate one another. Unfortunately, over the past several years, we've had less revenue than we've had expenses. And as a consequence of that, we've been borrowing money. We've been borrowing money to pay our pension obligations and borrowing money from our savings to pay basic operating expenses. I think long-term that is a recipe for disaster. You can only go into your savings account so many times before you don't have anything in your savings account. And it is unfortunate that Ms. Parker has not complained about the practice of the city in borrowing money to make its basic obligations until she became a candidate for mayor. She basically signed off on the accounting process time and time again over the last 5 years as city controller. Putting that aside, though, I think we need to look forward and not look back. And the real question that I think voters will want to know is, what is the next mayor going to do to keep the ship afloat? And to do that, I think we have to adjust our spendings. We have to manage the city budget in an objective way. We have to make sure that we ensure basic services, that they're maintained at all points. We have to collect all money, all revenue that is due to the city. And we have to make sure that we equitably spread any belt tightening around so that no community and no particular group is adversely impacted as a consequence of our belt tightening.
Now, obviously, since that report came out, there's been a lot of focus on the city's expenditures. Where do you see places that expenditures should be reduced, and where do you see places where revenue should be enhanced? What is your plan for that?
Yeah. Well, by growing the economy, you grow the revenue base. And by growing the revenue base, you actually enhance the city's ability to meet its obligations. So you do the little things and the big things to try to grow revenue. I mentioned earlier one of the things that you try to do to grow the revenue is to make sure that the city is collecting all debts that is owed. And I think one of the things that I would do is do an immediate audit to see, both from a contractual standpoint and from an operating standpoint, if there is money that can be recouped that is rightly due to the city. On the expense side, I think we have to carefully look at every department and make the kind of critical adjustments that are necessary. I don't believe that you have a universal approach of cutting expenses across the board equally, because I think there are some departments that will need every dollar that they presently have as they help to maintain basic services. I think there are other departments that will have more fat. So rather than use a shotgun approach that would require every department to reduce its budget by 1% or 2%, my management style would be to look at each department and to have the department heads justify where they are on a monthly basis in the operation of their budget and adjust the budgets accordingly. But I'm using certain principles as I do that. Principle number one is the city has to operate in an efficient and accountable fashion and in a transparent fashion so that there should be no waste or fat in the city budget. Number two, that we need to maintain basic services so that as we look, even if we operate in the most efficient manner, we should not put the health and the safety of Houstonians at risk. And so our ability to protect against fires and emergency response and public safety, all very critical things that we're going to have to do. We've got to pick up the garbage and make sure that that's done. We've got to make sure that we keep adequate drainage in the city. But beyond that, I think we look at everything. But we'll also look at it from the premise that if there is belt tightening, it is equitably shared by all Houstonians. And it's going to be the role of the mayor to communicate this to Houstonians so that we understand exactly what we're going through, why we're going through it, what we're going to do, and how we'll get to the other side.
One of your priorities on your website is with public safety and increasing the size of Houston's police force. How big an increase in the size of the police force do you envision?
It would be my hope, and this is long term, not short term, but it would be my hope to move Houston up approximately 300 officers. What that would do would put us at an operating level where it's 2.5 officers to every 1,000 citizens. That is commonly viewed as an acceptable ratio. Now, ratios like that have meaning and don't have meaning. In a city the size of Houston, even 2.5 is still a challenge. But the key is to get more officers on the street. And I think, anticipating your next question, how do you do that? I think one of the things that you do is you make sure that the folks who are already on the force are involved in law enforcement as opposed to administrative duties that can be handled by civilians. So you will see me using more civilians in lieu of trained officers. Second thing that I would try to do is to make sure that from a policing standpoint, we have the best informational technology at the hands of our law enforcement officers to save them time and man hours in the discharge of their duty. The old days, when an officer investigates a matter, has to write an offense report and take it down to the department and turn it in, thus losing several hours along the way, should be over forever. We should have officers who are able to, at the point of the incident, hit a computer, turn everything in, and go and protect somebody next door. Because we're in the world of informational technology, and we have the capability to do that. Certainly, to be able to have a compatible radio system with other law enforcement officers will save time in law enforcement. And the other thing, in terms of increasing manpower, when we know that we have a small force, we've got to better utilize our relationship with other law enforcement agencies so that we cooperatively police certain areas. I'm now speaking of the Houston Police Department working in conjunction with the Harris County Sheriff's Department and the Harris County Constables and the Metro Police and the school police and the university police, all targeting certain areas to make them safer. Right now, there is no universal cooperative discussion about protecting your neighborhood or my neighborhood from those agencies. Those are some of the short-term things that I would do immediately. Long-term, what I want to do is to close the city jail. Because I think in closing the city jail, you will free up both manpower and money that will allow you to put more law enforcement officers on the street. Obviously, to do that, you've got to have an arrangement with Harris County for a central booking system, and you've ultimately have got to go to a new method of housing inmates so that Harris County has the space that is available. I think we're probably a couple of years away from being able to have that solution, but I think we need to start thinking and talking about it now.
Well, I certainly agree that improving technology for the police officers is a great idea. That sounds like a big investment to me. And, you know, adding 300 police officers, given that a big chunk of the city's budget is salary and pension obligations to the police, I guess the question is, how specifically are you going to pay for all that?
I think we're still working on various models, and much of it will depend on the rate of attrition at the police department. Much of it will depend on the leadership from the police department. Much of it will depend on the cost of the informational technology that's available, our ability to enter into interlocal agreements with other law enforcement agencies to do the kind of joint policing that I'm talking about. And I think as mayor coming in, what I need to do is establish the mandates. This is what we will do. And as we go along, we'll figure out the most efficient and effective ways to get it done.
Okay. You talk about on your website in terms of your vision for business and economic development in Houston, a market-driven approach for business development in Houston. What does that mean?
It means that the city of Houston has historically had a great entrepreneurial spirit. It's been a business-friendly city, and the city government needs to understand that that has been an asset for us. And as an asset for us, you have to have faith in the free market system that if we are prudent, that the market system will take care of itself.
Do you envision doing rollbacks of existing regulations on businesses, or just not expanding regulations?
No, but my approach on regulations is this. The role of government is to protect the health and the safety of its citizens. I think it's appropriate for government to regulate in the areas of health and safety. And so you will see me being a big proponent of protecting people. I will want to protect them not just with the police, but in the vehicles that are licensed to run the streets of this city for profit. I will protect them in the kinds of homes that are built to make sure they are safe and properly constructed. On the other hand, I will not regulate the style of homes that people build, because I think that's a free market decision. If we're talking about health and safety, government has an appropriate role to play in protecting its citizens, and I certainly would do that. I do not anticipate rolling back any particular regulations are in place, but I think obviously every city council will be reviewing the status of our regulatory schemes. I'd like to have a regulatory scheme that is consistent and is uniform and is easily accessible, and it has to have some level of predictability and consistency to it, so that everybody who's doing business in the city kind of knows what the rules and regulations are, and then we'll all adhere to the rules and regulations. What I don't want to do is to create rules and regulations based on situations in response to issues that may have adverse consequences down the road.
By what means do you hope to try and attract more businesses to Houston? You talk about having an economic development officer, I believe, as part of your government. But what means do you anticipate using to try and draw businesses to Houston?
I think first, in terms of national business, I want Houston to be sensitive to and always recruiting national businesses to relocate into Houston. That means that obviously I will have our antennas up at City Hall. I will work with the Greater Houston Partnership and the business leadership here to see whenever there's an opportunity for a company to relocate. And once that happens, we will use all of the means at our disposal to aggressively recruit businesses to come to Houston. Obviously that means for me using tax incentives where appropriate and tax abatements where appropriate and infrastructure improvements where appropriate. All done if and only if the new business coming in can create such a benefit in Houston that it is worth the kinds of investments that we're making in them, so that we will contractually commit them to create new jobs, to have an economic impact on the economy in a way that works. That's nationally. Internationally, though, Houston has a great, great opportunity. With the Port of Houston here, we should be the center for trade and commerce throughout the world. And we're now the number two port in the United States. But with the opening of the Panama Canal, we will open ourselves up to a 40 to 50% increase in trade and trade opportunities with the Middle East and the Far East, because they can now go to the Panama Canal. We need to actively have people recruiting opportunities for Houston. We need to have the Greater Houston Partnership going on trade missions, the Port of Houston going on trade missions, and we need to have Houston represented on those missions. And while I don't personally look forward to doing it myself, I think we need to be aggressive in making sure that the opportunities that present themselves internationally are available to Houston. That's more long-term thinking, but that's the kind of vision that I have for this city, that Houston will become an international city. Its population right now is so diverse, and we represent most of the peoples of the world, if you will, the cultures of the world, and that should continue. It should continue because of what Houston has to offer as we attract people, but it also should continue because we're doing business with the rest of the world.
Okay. You know, when you talk about, you know, attracting business nationally using things like tax incentives and abatements, I mean, the state of Texas does that as well. In fact, there's a dedicated fund, the Texas Enterprise Fund, that the governor uses to try and draw businesses in. And unfortunately, the state doesn't have a very good track record of making sure that the businesses live up to the promises that they make in order to get the funds or tax cuts or whatnot. What will the city of Houston do under your administration to make sure that the businesses we draw in will live up to their promise and deliver the value?
I have some experience with this when I was city attorney, and we were asked to do tax abatements for folks. Basically, what the contracts that we entered with them required them in a very specific way to generate X number of jobs and have Y impact on the local economy. What I would do is to put a clause Z in there. Failure to meet A and B is grounds to terminate the contract and is grounds to recoup all of the tax incentives that have been given, so that at no point is the taxpayers of Houston at risk for losing their skin as a consequence of entering into the agreement.
Okay. Right now the city is talking with Harris County about setting up a number of TERZs. I always forget what that stands for. Tax and Infrastructure Reinvestment Zone, I think.
Tax Reinvestment.
Yeah. So the question I have with that is, you know, some of these are geared towards things like the potential soccer stadium for the Dynamo. Some are geared towards like the Astrodome area, potentially towards the redevelopment of that site, and some may be geared towards rebuilding or a city or county jail facility. Is this an appropriate use of the TERZ mechanism? And since you would be inheriting any deal that would be made, what's your opinion of it?
Well, I think we're both relying on a Chronicle article, and I've not had discussions with the.
There weren't a lot of details in that article.
I've not had a lot of discussions with the principals involved. So one, I don't know if there are active and fruitful discussions going on. Maybe they are, or maybe it was a good news story for the day, and the story doesn't have any legs in the future. But let's assume for a moment that your real question is, what is my philosophy regarding the use of TERZ?
Sure.
And I think any mayor would want to use all of the tools available to him or her to redevelop the city. I have a concern, however, that the proliferation of TERZs could have a long-term economic impact by literally creating sub-governments with quasi-taxing authority and revenue that does not address the overall needs of the city. And so as mayor, I understand that we're living in a world of TERZs, and I don't think we can stop the use of TERZs, but I would be very conservative in the project plans for each TERZ so that basic city needs that would normally be covered by the general fund, or at least addressed in the project plan of each TERZ. I'm talking now about public safety, and I'm talking about infrastructure. And I would want to make sure that each TERZ has a particular cause for existence that makes sense and ultimately benefits the city. If those three criteria can be met, then I think I would look seriously at the continuation of the TERZ. If those three cannot be met, or cannot be met in an exciting way for me, I'd have to re-examine whether we have there. I think what I would try to do as mayor with the existing TERZs that are out there is to put some level of uniformity to the project plans.
Okay. Metro is finally undertaking construction of a couple more of the light rail lines that were approved in the referendum a few years back. There's still a couple more that haven't been started. You know, what's your assessment of where Metro is today, and where do you want to see Metro 6 years from now when your term as mayor would be ending?
Well, 6 years from now, I want to see that all of the Metro rail lines that were approved in the 2003 referendum have been built and have been completed. And I want to see people using the right light rail system, and I want to see a light rail system that increases mobility in the city, relieves congestion in the city, has an economic impact that is powerful and beneficiary, and relieves the environment of some of the of pollutants that come from automobiles. That's what I'd like to see long term. And at the same time, I'd like to be us to be talking about where we go as a region with the next level of transportation. Now, where we are right now with Metro is that obviously if we voted on a referendum in 2003 and now 6 years later, we don't have any of the lines built, that's cause for concern. What I would like to see immediately is for us to move ahead with construction of the light rail, but I would also like for us to see, like for us to have a great bus system in the city, because I think that light rail will serve a particular constituency. But there are a lot of people in the city who are transit dependent, who use buses, and they deserve a public transportation system that has good, clean, safe buses that are on time, and that are appealing to folks. I think that is as good for this economy as a great light rail system. And so I want to see a more expanded bus system that is reliable. We also have to deal with the reality that people come in and out of Houston from outside of the 610 loop. And we need to have more park and rides. We need to have more HOV lanes. And we need to consider commuter rail for the region. One of the things that will be different for me as a mayor is that I will not look to Metro to solve the region's transportation problems. I will gather the regional leaders, and we will collectively develop a regional plan for the city and for the region. That regional plan will include improvements on highways, improvements on major thoroughfares, a great light rail system that is built out, a great bus system, bikeways in the city so people can use bicycles, walkable neighborhoods that make sense, and one of my favorites, you know, the hike and bike trails that are all throughout the city that I think kind of make Houston a signature city. So I think that transportation is much more than Metro. It is looking at how you move people from the various employment centers in Houston. And Houston has multiple employment centers. We have the medical center, we have the Galleria, we have Greenway Plaza, the Energy Corridor, downtown. We have to have an effective way to move people around those that make sense.
And you talk on your website about having an education policy director. What will that person be doing, and in what way do you see city government impacting public education in the Houston area?
Well, you may be more familiar with my website than I am, but I'm not sure that I talk about education policy director. Maybe I do. What I do see is the city having an active and cooperative role with education. There are multiple school districts in Houston, and it's important for us to work with all of them to make sure that the city discharges its duty as a city to the school systems, but it's also important that we work to improve the educational product in the schools. I will work hand in glove with the educational leaders to make sure that we're doing our part to make sure that the travel to and from schools is safe, that the sidewalks that the children use are safe and functional. I will try to extend after school programs to the extent possible to work with kids that are in need of that. But I also work with job training programs in the region to make sure that we try to capture the population of young men and women who are out of school but not yet in the job market. And I think that's done both with the public school system and it's done with the community colleges and with the business centers. We've got to all work together to take ownership of the problem of education that the region finds. Having somebody in the mayor's office who is directly responsible for that and who reports to me is a good thing, and I certainly applaud that. I didn't know that I'd put a title to the person.
That's what I'll go back and double check when we're done here.
It may be that the title has been imposed for me. But the notion of having somebody right there working with the mayor is certainly something that I envision. Because I envision my being actively involved. One of the things we want to happen is I'm trying to build new neighborhoods, and I want those neighborhoods to have great schools. And so I want to make sure that we work hand in glove, that the HISD is not closing the school while I'm trying to build a neighborhood. Conversely, I want to make sure that we're providing the amenities in that neighborhood that will support the school so that we can get people moving back into Houston, enjoying the great neighborhoods and having great schools in those neighborhoods.
How do you envision yourself being like Mayor White or not like Mayor White, evaluating his term in office?
Well, Mayor White wears shoes, I wear boots.
Well, that's one of the better answers I've gotten to that question.
And because I wear boots, I won't try to step in his shoes. I won't try to walk in his path. 2010 is going to present a new set of problems for the next mayor. I will always applaud the fact that Mayor White gave great leadership to the city, that Mayor White was nonpartisan, that his administration has been widely recognized as one of high integrity, high character, and I will certainly try to emulate those things. But the problems that I will be confronting will be the Gene Locke problems going forward, and I'm going to handle them in my own way. I'll have to, you know, put my footprint on it, if you will.
And when people go to vote in this election, why should they vote for you and not one of your opponents?
Well, you have some fine candidates running, I think one of the things that voters will want to know is who can best lead the city. When you put all of the issues aside and you examine all of the candidates, who has the best leadership skills? Who is the person that is best able to pull a diverse city together, have us work together for a common goal? Who is the person that can talk to the east side of town and the west side of town at the same time without double talking? Who is it that can bring trade unions and business people together in a way that they can understand what's best for the city? They will not have a city that is racially divided or ethnic divided or religiously divided. A city where we all respect each other. I think this election will come down to leadership, and I would offer up that Gene Locke has leadership experience, skills, and a proven record, and that's why I think that I have earned the right to run for mayor, and I look forward to the vote of Houstonians.
Gene Locke, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you. Good.